episode 198 of the Hunting Party Podcast, our third-to-last episode. I'm Arth from the Warcraft Hunters Union.
And I'm Darkbrew from thebrewhall.com and thebrewhall on Twitter.
And I'm Molly Saunder from the Hunting Party Podcast.
And today is Saturday, December the 14th, 2013. If you want to participate in the chat room and have your name mangled on the air, just go in there and type in a cool huntery name and join in on the fun.
Yep, speaking of the chat room, we are joined today by Darkbrew, Kittybot, Molly Saunder, Arthu, Astheria, Brunix, Conjure, Druid Tamer, Elapidate, Induates, Lakey, Ligerwolf, Mesk, Oxander, Rogues for the Win, which we might boot him later on, Roseby, Roy, Scruffy, Slugslinger, and Talios. And our lovely moderator, as always, is Ollie Saunder. You can send your questions into Ollie in a private message by left-clicking her name, selecting PM, then typing in the new tab. Or you can send your question to huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com. We'll try to get to it either later on this show or one of our January shows. So we do have a guest today on the show, but before we introduce him, we do have a couple quick announcements. The first is that we're taking a holiday break, so the next 2 weeks we will not be having a show. That's December 21st and the 28th. So, and Darkbrew, you're going to try to get to some of those post shows, yeah?
Yeah, we have a Roger Brown post show, so I'm going to try and get that posted, and then BRK post show as well, so I'll get those pushed out to iTunes. I believe they're still up on YouTube, so if you can listen to those particular episodes. I forget the episode numbers. I forget what BRK's was. But anyway, yeah, a couple post shows. I'd like to get those out because they're about, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes long. So almost as long as a regular show. It was pretty good stuff.
Yes. And the second announcement that we have is, yeah, a couple people are mentioning it in the chat room, and a couple people are just learning about it in the chat room, it looks like. But we are ending the podcast at episode 200. So this is episode 198. We have two more. It will be most likely January 4th, that first Saturday in January, and then episode 200, the earliest it will be is January 11th, but we're going to look in January at those Saturdays to see which week works out for the most people. So that might get moved around a little bit. So we are ending the show. It was something that we've been talking about for a little while and was a decision we didn't make lightly because I know a lot of people enjoy the show. We enjoy doing it, and it's been a great run. But with a lot of different things, it was time to call it a day with the show.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that, I guess, the next episode. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, dwelling on it today just because we do have a guest. And so we are still moving forward with the show and still doing our normal thing. But, yeah, it's just time. You can read Arth's post, his goodbye post on the WHU. I wrote a little bit something about it on the Brew Hall this past week, and we'll spend some more time on that, episode 199. And like I said, episode 200, we're going to kind of bring back the gang, too. It's not going to just be Arth and I. It'll be Frostheim has already committed to participating, and Euripides will be here as well, and then some of the usual folks like Michelle Morrow, probably BRK, and then we're also, we're going to try and see if we can do something special, like perhaps Ghost Crawler or something like that, so we have extended the invitation. I'm not holding my breath on that.
I've tried, and we also have Frostheim kind of poking around to see if he might be interested, but we've had no bites yet, so I'm not holding my breath, but that would be cool. However, we are going to have quite a few past hosts and guests on the show, so it'll be an epic show.
Yeah.
So yeah, not to dwell on it too much, but we did want to announce that formally here since the news came out first on the WHU this past week. So it was actually something we were going to announce last week, but then I was late for the show because of the weather, and it kind of got pushed back.
Yeah.
So moving on from that, we will talk a little bit more about the end of the show, but we're still going, the WHU is still going, and we're going to go up to episode 200. We're going to keep covering the news, the Hunter news and general WoW news, but joining us this week is Hunter Conjure from the guild Duality. Now, Duality is the 11th ranked guild in the world, third ranked guild in the U.S., and let me see here, and our show notes it as, during the Throne of Thunder patch, Conjure spent a fair amount of time theory crafting and doing haste analysis on RPPM trinkets. So we actually were referred to Conjor by Zahara, and Zahara, of course, is of the female dwarf and theory crafting fame. So she referred us to him because his work caught the attention of Zahara, and
we're here to talk to Celestalon too, who's one of the devs at Blizzard. I don't know if we're ready to crown him the new Ghost Crawler, but certainly he's starting to fill that void a little bit, and I think we're going to start hearing a lot more from him. And we've got some Hunter tweets and things later on we can talk about later on. But
But we are excited to have Conjor on the podcast, and welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, it's always good to get, you know, like I said, hunters of all kinds and people that are doing, like, especially the, I love talking to folks like you who do the world first type stuff and just clear all the hardest content in relatively fast fashion, because, you know, that's, you know, hopefully I'll get to do some heroics here soon, but it's always fun to see people playing this game at a super, super high level. So welcome.
There is a bit of a difference between what the World First guilds do and what we do, but it is still really exciting being on that cutting edge.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we're talking to Roger, I mean, he said that their guild, like, they basically have everyone clear their schedules for about 2 weeks while they tackle this content. Yeah. That means, you know, like, literally, if you have a job and vacation, you're burning your vacation time to do that stuff, which is just, that's not something I could ever commit to.
Yeah, quite a few of us, during progression, we all still have jobs. I work a 9-to-5 job, also going to school, and a lot of us, like, we have families too, and so we dedicate, you know, as much time as we possibly can to progression, but, you know, we can't put in the amount of time that, say, Method or Blood Legion puts in, but yeah, we do put in a lot of time, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it's impressive nonetheless, so... Well, we actually, like, last week, as low as we were on Hunter News, meaning there was, like, absolutely nothing, we actually got a little bit of stuff happen this week via hot fixes and other things.
Yeah, we did have a patch. It was, what, 5.4.2, and there was nothing major, but there was some. There's a couple things that might affect PvP hunters, and there was a few small changes and tweaks. So let's go through those, because it is actually the first significant Hunter News we've had, really, since BlizzCon.
Yeah, so let's see real quick. Deterrence was modified by the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Chimera should now correctly provide immunity to physical interrupt effects. So that was a fix to... I didn't realize there was an issue there.
Yeah, it's always been sort of weird, like, what Deterrence does and doesn't work on, but it's good to know that this should now help against that as well, so the physical interrupts.
They changed Revive Pet that has a cast time now of 2 seconds down from 4, which sounds pretty cool, except that was in response to... this was a pretty big change. I'll just jump right to that, where hunters can no longer dismiss pets during arena combat, basically. That was like a pretty significant nerf, I would say, to PvP hunters doing arenas. I don't know, do you PvP much, Conjor, or do you just mostly PvE?
I do a bit of both. I definitely don't do PvP at the same level that I do PvE, but I can definitely see how, you know, those high end hunters can kind of feel the pain from this nerf, especially, you know, not being able to swap out pets and get, say, a fresh pet at 100% health and with a whole new set of cooldowns.
Yep.
It's definitely going to hurt them a bit.
Yeah, and this was, they did talk about this a little bit. There was a blue post from, I believe it was Lore, one of the devs who talks a lot on the forums to explain things. And the change was intentional, and it was a long time in coming too, because apparently this was a strategy that hunters were using that was unintended in the game design. So hunters were never intended to be swapping out pets mid-arena. So this was to prevent the mechanics being used in a way that was not originally intended, and probably created some balancing issues for hunters in PvP as well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty significant change, and what Laura had to say was, you know, Dismiss Pet was frequently used to bypass cooldowns on certain pet abilities, such as Roar Sacrifice, or to swap out a dangerously wounded pet for one at full health, and says neither of those were intended behavior, and says, furthermore, our design is that choosing your pet should feel similar to choosing a glyph or talent during pre-match preparation. It says, with this change, hunters are able to switch pets during the pre-match preparation period, mm-hmm. but unable to dismiss them once the match has begun. So, and I think Roar Sacrifice is probably the big one that they were pulling their pets out for. I don't know how much the buffs came into play, if they were pulling them out for for the various buffs. But it sounds like this has been around for a while, a long time, so it's interesting that they were able to do this now, and maybe it's just where it came up on the list of things where they could change.
Well, the buffs is an interesting thing, too, because at one time you could pull out, even pre-match, what a lot of hunters would do, even if they weren't adept at switching pets mid-fight. They would pull out a bunch of pets and get buffs going into the fight, so that you were rolling at least for the first 30, 40 seconds or minute or so of the fight, you had extra buffs that you couldn't have otherwise because you had multiple pets buffing you. So apparently, and this wasn't a 5.4 or 5.4.2 change, but it was a relatively recent change where that no longer happens. If you're casting, once you dismiss your pet, that buff goes away. And this is in arenas. So that's a strategy that hasn't been available to hunters for a little while now.
Yeah, and again, this is just PvP arenas. It doesn't apply to PvE. Which means you should still be able to dismiss your pet in a raid encounter, which there are times when that actually sometimes you have to do that. Do you do that? Well, you do 25 man raids, so I imagine you have all the buffs, so the need for you to switch a pet during an encounter is probably pretty low.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. I mean, we did a 10-man clear last week, just to gauge the difficulties and whatnot. And on one fight, I was the only battle res, right? So sometimes I would have to swap out. I had my physical damage pet out, and if someone died, I would have to swap out to my clone, try and battle res them, and that's beyond clunky. But sometimes you have to, especially in the 10-mans. I can see it happening a lot.
Yeah, I'd say 10-mans is where I've encountered it, and the battle res is one that you maybe sometimes have to swap to, and the other one would be to pull out the core hound for heroism if you don't have a mage or shaman. So those are the two circumstances that I've encountered throughout this expansion with 10-mans of having to swap pets mid-fight. So, and from a PvE standpoint, the 2-second res is kind of nice. I mean, the pets don't die a lot, but that's certainly save you a little bit of time there getting your pet back up in action.
Pet tanking, baby.
Yeah.
get that pet back up right away and back to get those cooldowns rolling. That'll be interesting to see how that might help us with certain things.
Yeah.
In soloing as well too, because a lot of times 4 seconds is long enough for a boss to get over to you and like one shot you once your pet goes down if you're trying to solo something. But 2 seconds, you might be able to get him back up, feign death, taunt, or growl, or whatever, and have your pet back to tanking something.
With enough haste, you can get it down to about 1.5 seconds almost.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that. Yeah.
That's always where my mind goes is to soloing and pet tanking. It's like, how can this apply to that area? Because everyone's already thought of the PvE and PvP implications, usually more so than me. So that's usually my contribution to things.
Yeah.
So the other, we did have a couple other smaller changes. One was just a hot fix, really. There was battle pets were incorrectly receiving spirit bond heals for hunters, so they resolved that. That's no longer going to happen, and of course that was never intended, so this was just fixing a mechanic that hadn't been working properly. And then, see, hunter aspects and trap launcher effects should no longer be removed at the start of an arena match, so you don't have to reapply them.
Yeah.
It's just a small quality of life thing.
Yeah, it sounds like that'd be kind of an annoying thing to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was also happening with a lot of other classes as well. Mage armors, I think, was one of them. They would always be wiped at the start of an arena match. So,
Yeah, well, at least we weren't the only ones getting nerfed by it then. That's always good to know.
So that was it for the the little bit of patch notes, some hot fixes for hunters. Nothing. Like I said, the dismissed pet was probably the biggest impact to those who PvP and do the arena. So that's something they'll have to just alter their strategies and do whatever, make some adjustments there. So I'm trying to think what else this week. So the scattered shots, Bendek had a nice little column, and he grabbed some tweets from Celestalon, talked about Warlords of Draenor and a little bit, and some of the things we could expect for hunters. And so I thought it'd be fun to go through some of those that he pulled out and talk about that, because there's a few interesting things there.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see, the first one is that all of the new secondary and tertiary stats so are passed down to pets and guardians, just as you'd hope. So that's good news, and that includes things like cleave damage or movement speed, presumably. I think we're not going to be getting both of those. I think the early reports on that were that was two of the new secondary stats that they mentioned when they were getting rid of hit and expertise. But my understanding was that each class would only get one of them. So we're not going to be getting... So if they create two or three different new secondary stats, we're not going to be getting all of those on gear. There's just going to be one that's specific to hunters, and I think ours was going to be cleave damage. So that, in addition to whatever secondary stats, should be getting passed down to our pets in full.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like you would expect that to do that, and it's just nice to get that little bit of confirmation. I don't know that there was a lot of concern that it wouldn't happen that way, but it's nice to know that Blizzard has at least thought of that and planning that accordingly.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see exactly how that's going to affect BM. BM, a lot of damage is coming from the pet, so if all of these are going to be going down to the pet as well, that may cause some balance issues. Hopefully it doesn't mess BM up too much.
Yeah, that's a good point because, Well, you can have discussions about whether or not it's a little bit easier to play than some of the other specs, but there's a lot of passive damage that comes out of that spec with the pet just sort of acting like a giant dot on the target. And so, if it is imbalanced and the pet does, too much damage, then, yeah, it could make it be just overwhelming choice for people choosing hunters.
Yeah, then again, more people like Beastmaster than the other two specs combined, probably. So you're going to hear the least amount of QQ when Beastmaster's on top as you will when the other two are on top. So that's always some silver lining there, but you're absolutely right. It could be an issue, and hopefully they watch that. But that's a balancing thing. Usually they keep it relatively close, even if there is a clear winner still.
Yeah.
All right, so there was another tweet from Bendak himself talking about trinkets. He says, will CDR trinkets change to readiness rating in 6.0 to scale down as you level, or going to be effectively turned off at 100? In which Celestalon replied, yes, the SOO trinkets that the new stats are based on will likely change to the new stat in 6.0. And honestly, I have no idea what all that means.
The trinkets like Assurance of Consequence that reduce your cooldowns on all of your abilities. Well, on some of them anyway. Right, so that'll be switched over to the new rating that is reducing your cooldowns.
Okay, so now I do get that, yes. And that's a great trinket, by the way. I like the fact that they did stuff like that with trinkets. That's a,
Conjure to the rescue, because I wasn't going to be able to disambiguate
well,
that.
I didn't realize what... I'm looking at CDR going, what is CDR? CDR, and then I realize, oh, cooldown reducing. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, I was staring at CDR, too, going, all right, come on, Arth. You know all the acronyms. What does this one stand for? So, yeah, I probably would have gotten there eventually, because trinkets, there's only so many things that trinkets do, but I couldn't come up with it at the time.
All right. And then the final one was from Roger Brown, and he said, I don't want to set hopes too high, not even close to Mop Warlock change level, but yes, Rogue/Hunter spec differentiation up, and...
Well, that wasn't Roger, but that was in response to something Brown said, yeah.
And then, he went on to say, mainly going to try to make their rotations more distinct from each other, feel different to play, again, not an overhaul. And this is the one I think we should spend some time on here because, I mean, to me, anything that impacts your rotation, to me, feels a lot like an overhaul. And I think when people think overhaul, we're mostly thinking about our spells and abilities in rotations. So, I mean, if they're going to change that, that seems like a pretty significant change to me, or certainly would feel like a pretty significant change.
Absolutely. And again, this has been on the docket for a little while where they're saying, yeah, hunters need some spec differentiation. And this was one of the biggest things that we covered in the Hunter Project as well. It was an article all its own for how can you make the specs feel different from one another. And we kind of jumped off the deep end with that and suggested some massive overhauls. But then there was some sections where I said, okay, we're probably not going to get this level of overhaul, but how can they continue to make them feel different if we if we keep the same model of just range DPS, how do we make it, you know, how do we differentiate them? Because some of the things that we were suggesting were like have a PvP spec, have a melee spec, have a tanking spec, things like that where you really change the flavor and the role of a particular spec, because right now the way they are, there's just three range DPS specs and there's usually one that's sort of on the bottom that nobody's using for anything. So my thought was, if we're going to keep this model and only be using two of our three specs at any given time, why not just take one of the others, make it something wildly different? I didn't think that was likely, and it looks like it's not from this tweet, but that I think that's what they're saying when they're saying not an overhaul. We're not changing the role necessarily. We're just, you know, moving around the rotations and making them feel different and unique. So it'll still be significant change, but I'm looking forward to see what they do with it, because hunters are in need of something like this to make each spec feel unique and hopefully bring something useful that's unique to each spec that the others can't do, so that they each have a distinctive role.
I mean, what do you think about that, Conjure? I mean, were you hoping for major overhaul? Do you think hunters need a major overhaul, or do you think just working on spec differentiation is a good direction for Blizzard to go in for hunters?
Yeah, I don't know if we need any kinds of big overhauls in particular. Definitely making the specs play a little differently is something that I think they should try and move towards. And like, I'm waiting for the check in the mail from Blizzard for this one. I can tell you exactly how to make all the specs feel different right now, and that is remove Arcane Shot. If you were to take Arcane Shot, maybe make it a spec-specific thing, like give it to Survival or something like that, and then give the other two specs something else, then all the specs would feel different. Like right now, all the specs, they just kind of, you know, hit Arcane Shot every once in a while, and I think that kind of bleeds over into all the specs and makes them feel a little too similar. And so if they touched Arcane Shot, moved it around a little bit, I think that would go a long way to making all the specs kind of feel different.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's one way they could definitely help out in this area. But I think we have a hint based on our level 100 talents that's not going to happen, because one of our level 100 talents is specifically to replace Arcane Shot with something a little bit different and more powerful. And I don't think they would give an option that all three specs couldn't choose. So I think all three specs are going to keep Arcane Shot as a base because of that talent. But I agree that something like that, either that specifically or something similar to that, would be a cool way to help differentiate them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, what you say makes sense. And I mean, you know, Arcane Shot, if you think about the Hunter specs, and I really haven't really looked at it this way, you know, Arcane Shot, that's shared between all three. I mean, essentially Cobra Shot and Steady Shot are the same thing. Feel-wise, and you know, they do slightly different things. But they're basically the same shot. And then we also have Serpent Sting, which is, you know, those are three abilities that we use and that are available to all three specs. And then when you think about things like Glaive Toss, the talents, and so there are a lot of abilities that overlap all three of the specs, and so it makes it harder for them to feel distinct. There's not too much there that's different between the two. Or the three, I should say.
Which is why I'm so excited about the With or Without You talent, because that's one of the things that might really start to make the specs feel different, you know, BM different from Marksman and Survival. So I think they're moving in the right direction. They have the right idea. It'll be interesting to see how they try to do this. So maybe it won't be quite enough. Maybe it'll be too much. You know, no one's ever, you're never going to please everybody. But I think they have the right idea with some of this and what they're trying to do. Yeah.
But as we talk about some of these specs, now one of the reasons we brought you on here was to talk a little bit about marksmanship, and it's something that haven't spent much time on this expansion and haven't given it its just due, and there's just not many people are playing it, and not a lot of people think it's they definitely think it's the third best spec, and some would maybe say that it's not even worth playing at all. And but what are your thoughts on that? Do you play marksmanship at all for anything, or?
Yeah, I play marks whenever I can, actually. Marks is kind of it's been past its heyday, I guess. You know, the last time that it was really used in endgame by most hunters was, I guess, back in Firelands. And then along came Dragon Soul, and everybody kind of switched over to Survival and maybe a little BM here and there. And it hasn't really kind of lived up to anyone's expectations. I guess until now, really. And that's kind of unfortunate. But for me, you know, I played Marksman during progression in the latter half of Siege of Orgrimmar. I used it during our Siegecrafter progression as well as our Paragons progression. So that was two of the last three bosses. And it was doing really well, keeping up and doing better than some of the other specs, in my hands at least.
Yeah. And what did you like about it for those two encounters in particular?
I guess it was just different. You know, I've been playing BM for, I guess, the entirety of this expansion, and being able to play something else really makes it more interesting, I guess. And I also feel like it's smoother than some of the other specs, especially once you get the four-piece. You know, survival turns into kind of like a button-mashing thing where you just hit an explosive shot over and over and over again. And, yeah, BM is BM. It doesn't really change with the four set. But with enough haste and everything, Marks just becomes this buttery smooth spec that it just feels great to play.
Buttery smooth.
Buttery smooth, yeah.
That's a wonderful description of the spec.
Yeah, and sim-wise, I mean, it sims out pretty close to the other two specs. I mean, we're not talking about something that's a distant third, I don't think. It's not like Wrath of the Lich King, where BM was clearly behind the other two specs to the point where playing it was not really an option for any kind of progression rating. Whereas this time, I think marksmanship's right up there, and if you have the skill, you can probably do as well, if not better, than you would if you played the other two specs if you're not as proficient. I mean, is that your sense of it?
Yeah, I mean, skill does come into it, but I think that comes into all the specs. But for marks, I think that it's more of your gear. You know, marks skills really, really well with weapon damage, far more than the other specs. And so if you can get your hands on, say, a heroic weapon, and that kind of, you know, outclasses the rest of your gear, then marks will probably pull way ahead for you.
You know, that's kind of always been the case, too. This isn't the first expansion where marksman has scaled better, period, with gear and certainly with weapon damage. I remember that being something we were talking about at the end of Kata, and I remember Frost talking a lot about it, how it was scaling a little bit better, and it was even the case as far back as Wrath, and that was, of course, when, like, Marksman and Armor Pen were broken. But yeah, that's interesting to hear that's still the case.
Yeah, and you also kind of need a lot of crit and haste on your gear. If you have, you know, a lot of pieces that have mastery on it, it's going to kind of hurt marksman's potential. You know, mastery's worth probably about half of what crit or haste is worth. And so, every piece of gear that has mastery on is going to kind of hurt that a little bit. But other than that, you know, marks is right up there in terms of DPS potential with the other specs. It does kind of lag behind when it comes to AoE, unfortunately. It just, you know, it's like you're hitting stuff with a pool noodle if you're playing marks and trying to AoE stuff.
Right.
Compared to the other specs. But single target, it's definitely right up there.
Yeah, and of course, I'm not doing progression rating, but that is a lot of what I've heard is that single target, if you're able to play it well, you're going to be able to keep up with and really not see much of a difference between that and what you'll be able to do in Beastmaster and Survival, even though the top parses are coming from there. It's very, very close, but AoE is where it lags behind a little bit. Yeah. So maybe an AoE boost. Is there anything you'd like to see happen with the spec, with Marksman in particular, that you think might help boost it or make it a little bit more interesting or get more hunters, other than being slightly better in DPS relative to the other two specs? Is there anything that you think it needs right now?
Yeah, I think that AoE is really the only place where Marksman is really lacking. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure exactly what they could do to fix it. Perhaps do something with piercing shots. That would be interesting if they made, say, multi-shot, always proc piercing shots. And so you could get it on all the mobs at once, similar to, I guess, what Survival does. That's just kind of off the top of my head. But other than that, I think that the spec is in a really good place, actually.
Yeah, that would be kind of a neat thing, what you're suggesting, kind of, like you say, kind of like the way they do a Serpent Spread for Survival, having something similar like that for Marks. Okay. I think that might be kind of a neat thing.
And I do want to say, now, most of our discussion here is focused on PvE. Not too long ago, I did a 5.4 analysis of spec representation in arenas. And while it's not a perfect representation of how the different specs are doing, like, we can tell if there is just an inordinate number of arms warriors above 2200 arena rating compared to other specs, that they're doing very well. And it had been Beastmaster dominance all throughout Mists of Pandaria, but in 5.4, not only is Beastmaster no longer the top spec, but it has basically disappeared, and all of the top-level hunters in PvP right now are marksmen. Now, this is maybe a month old, this analysis that I did, so it may have changed slightly, but there hasn't been any major nerfs or buffs since then. So whatever they did, and now the biggest thing was they nerfed the hell out of Beastmaster's burst. So that's the biggest reason for it going down. But whatever they did, and one of the other things was Marksman has exclusive access to Silencing Shot that the others don't. So it's the only silence. We do have other interrupts, but it's the only silence that we have access to. And all of the when I looked at it, all of the hunters above a certain arena rating were Marksman. There was just a scattered few Survival and Beastmaster. So for the first time since I can remember, it seems like it's the top hunter PvP spec. So if you're still doing Beastmaster in arenas, give Marksman a try. You might end up enjoying it.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of related back to also the PvE side, where you kind of need a good weapon, in that, you know, Mark scales ridiculously well with weapon damage. And so when Blizzard finally decided that we're going to up the eye level in PvP, because for the past two seasons, we've been stuck at, I think, 496 item level for the weapons,
okay,
right?
Yeah, see, and I so hadn't now, even thought of that.
Yeah, so we're up, you know, 30 eye levels in terms of weapon damage, and so Chimera Shot, it just hits like a truck in PvP. It doesn't matter if you're a plate wearer or not, you're still going to get hit for, you know, 100k plus crit with Chimera Shot, so yeah, that's a huge factor in it as well.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's a great point. Because keeping the gear, because the gear doesn't scale necessarily at the same time in PvP as it does in PvE. So, yeah, that's interesting. So that may have coincided and been part of it. It might not just have been the spec changes and buffs and nerfs, but that might have had a big part of it as well.
Now, in terms of like the secondary stats for Marksman, so is haste the priority then for that spec, do you think, or?
Haste and crit for marks are about equal. They synergize very well. But yeah, I mean, relative to the other secondary stats, it's, you know, mastery is really bad for marks. no matter which way you kind of flip it. But crit and haste for marks is pretty much where you want to go. Yeah.
Cool. And I think that's true probably for the other two specs as well. I mean, I think I forget where haste falls. I mean, sometimes there's been some discussion haste versus crit, but my understanding is that they're just so close that, you know, you can't necessarily go terribly wrong with either, unless you're trying to really super min-max your character and get every single ounce of potential DPS into your outfit.
BM is actually really nice when it comes to secondaries. It doesn't really matter what secondaries you throw at it, whether it be haste, crit, mastery, it doesn't matter. It's going to scale really well with all of them. Survival, I found that it really likes crit more than anything else. Crit, haste, and then mastery for survival is kind of what I would lean towards anyway.
Yeah, that seems to match with some of the theory crafting data that we have too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And back to the four-piece bonus real quick. So, you said you like that for Mark. So how does that alter the rotation from MM? I mean, the four-piece bonus basically says when you get the instant aim shot, it'll then reduce the cast time of your next aim shot by 50%. So how do you work that as far as the rotation goes?
Yeah, so normally when I'm playing Marks, I'm trying to dump as much as I can with aim shot. I will throw arcane shots in there every once in a while when it kind of fits the flow of everything. But I'm normally just dumping with aim shot, and, you know, as soon as you get that that instant aim shot, which you're going to probably get about once every Chimera Shot cycle, then you can just quickly hit another aim shot, and it's going to be almost like it's instant, because it's always going to be below the GCD. with enough haste. So, yeah, it just seems to flow so nicely with the four piece. So yeah. You kind of get like two instant aim shots in a row almost.
Yeah, and that's that's really getting deeper into the, you know, you're talking about haste plateaus and set bonuses and things like that, so that, you know, you're really talking about higher level thinking with some of these specs, not just which one is the best, but with this particular configuration and with these stat levels and things like that. So there's rarely been easy answers with a lot of our, with once you get to the higher levels of the theory crafting and rating and whatnot. But it's interesting to see that a lot of that is still affected by things like stat levels and gear, not just, you know, you mentioned the weapon damage earlier and, you know, set bonuses, haste levels. So all of this plays into it.
Oh. Yeah.
We're getting some feedback from someone there.
Yeah, a little better. So marksman sounds like I said, if there are folks out there who it was their favorite spec, if it was your favorite spec at one time, but you've been afraid to play it because, you know, you've heard everybody tell you it's the worst of the bunch, I mean, it's really not true, and I would encourage you to go ahead and give it a look and give it a try, because, you know, and have some fun.
Yeah, we are getting some, I see some agreement from the chat room with Raven wrote that Arcane feels more like survival, and of course it's magic damage, so it definitely doesn't feel like marksman. So when you were saying get rid of Arcane, I said marksman needs a physical dump, not something like Arcane, and I would tend to agree, because that's the physical damage spec, or at least traditionally it has been. So, and that's aligned with your idea for helping to differentiate the specs.
Yeah, and again, keep in mind too, those level 100 talents are likely to change. I mean, once the beta gets rolling, I mean, they'll do some iterations on those, so that I would hardly consider them to be final or set in stone in any way. I would fully anticipate them us ending up with possibly three completely different things before it's all said and done.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get much in the way of new abilities overall. Maybe we'll get one, but we're probably not going to see a lot of new abilities. So if they are going to change and make spec differentiations, they're going to have to kind of retool, like you said, existing things.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a new ability or maybe some changed abilities for marksmen and survival to account for the fact that they won't always have pets around. So depending on what talent they take at level 100. But yeah, at this point, it's just speculation.
Well, that's a question. So, I mean, Conjurer, do you think, what do you think about the with or without you talent? I mean, does playing without a pet something that would interest you at all, or you have no plan for that whatsoever?
I'm not too sure exactly how I feel about it right now. It wouldn't make sense for BM to not have a pet, and obviously they have the special case for if you're BM, it just kind of buffs your pet talents.
Right.
I think that pets are kind of integral to the hunter class, and I wouldn't really want to see them go, especially that being a passive talent. I don't know if it's going to end up being the best. I hope that it isn't. If it stays in, that's just me personally. I do like the other talents in that at that level. The Bolishaw, that's the cleave one. I really like that one. We really needed a cleave. But the petless spec, probably not something that I would go for personally.
Yeah, I have to see how the things go. But I agree. It just seems like hunters are built around pets, and having a pet by your side sort of fighting for you. It's an interesting option, but I just can't imagine. For me, too, it would not be something I would choose to want to do. Like, I wouldn't want to be survival and then take that talent so I could play without the pet. I mean, the only time I might want to do it is if there's some encounter or something in which, for whatever reason, the pet is almost impossible to keep alive and keeps dying and needs a lot of management in that regard. Then I might take it just for that, but just as an overall gameplay option, it's not something I would choose to do, I don't think.
Yeah, that'll divide some people. And, of course, as soon as we saw it, we realized it was going to be the most divisive over people's opinions on it and wanting to take it or not. So there'll be some that just follow the DPS, as always, you know, whichever one's going to be the highest the highest theoretical DPS, or, you know, based on their testing or what they're able to do, and others who will want to keep the pet and will only take that talent if it's Beastmaster. But I don't think I would mind it. I think it'd be interesting to try it without the pet. It would feel a little bit odd, you know, kind of like playing naked, but without a pet there. I do think it would feel weird, but I'm interested to try it.
Yeah. So back in 5.2, when we sort of led off with this a little bit, you did a lot of work on the PPM trinkets. So let's talk about that a little bit, because that sounds like, I mean, you know, obviously you came up with some good findings and helped us to learn a lot about how they work. But what prompted you to do that? Were you always doing theory crafting types of things, or was this sort of your first foray into it?
That was kind of my first jump into the theory crafting crowd. You know, my extent of experience in theory crafting before that was, you know, going to femaledwarf.com and importing my character, right? That was kind of the extent of it. But when 5.2 rolled around and you know, we're on the PTR and we're testing things out, and I realized, holy geez, all of our trinkets are RPPM. I wanted to kind of figure out on my own which one is going to be the best for hunters, you know, which one should we be passing off to the rogues and the feral druids and whatnot. And so I dove in and started picking apart what RPPM was. And it ended up being this huge, gigantic thing involving, you know, like second-year calculus that you would learn at university, and statistics, and you'd need, like, probability and statistics from second year in order to properly analyze it. And I'm a math guy at heart, so I kind of dove right in, and it just kind of, like, consumed me for 2 weeks just picking apart RPPM. It eventually culminated in a spreadsheet that I posted online to MMO Champ and to a few other websites where people could go and enter in their stats, and they could see where all the RPPM trinkets would rank for them, how beneficial they would be. I also published kind of like a, I don't want to call it a paper or anything, it showed all of my derivations, how I came up with all the formulas, and that actually helped out Zahara a little bit on her site, where she was having some issues coming up with good ways to simulate all the RPPM trinkets. So.
Right, and I mean, I think she may have mentioned some of that to us when we had her on, that, you know, that, well, anytime there's a big change like that, but I think those trinkets in particular were such a deviation from what they'd done in the past that it was a little bit challenging for her to go ahead and get that programmed in there. And then also you mentioned that Celestalon kind of caught his attention too. What did he ask you about or wanted to know?
That was very unexpected, actually, that he contacted me about it. So I guess my stuff had been up on MMO Champ for about a week. And, you know, as happens when you're going through kind of the first iteration of publishing out some work on this, it's very complicated and you're going to make mistakes, right? And apparently he went through my work and he found a couple of mistakes, and he actually tried to contact me in-game to say, hey, you know, there's an error here and you screwed up, which was really interesting, completely unexpected. But yeah, it just goes to show you that the developers, they do watch the community. They do follow the theory crafting community quite closely. And so, yeah, it was completely unexpected and really, really surprising.
Yeah, that is kind of neat, you know, for them to take notice of your work. You know, obviously, you know, in correcting it, we don't make it sound like he was bashing it or hated it. Obviously, he seemed to like what you did, and you know, I have to imagine that it helps them out too. I mean, you know, because they can see the information that we're coming up with, and guys like you that are coming up with it, and it probably also validates what they've done or helps them to verify, you know,
yeah,
what they had intended and what they had programmed into it.
Yeah, I believe that Celestalon was the guy who came up with RPPM at the time. And that's why he contacted me about it, because it was kind of like his little baby that he came up with, right? And so he was really excited that there were people like me who were putting in this time to really dig down deep into RPPM. So
now, are there still any considerations? Because RPPM trinkets were changed in 5.4. Are there any new considerations that hunters need to know about with with these trinkets, or has it become any easier to calculate them? What sort of changes were necessary when that took place?
Yeah, so previously, all the RPPM formulas involved a haste modifier. So depending on your haste, that would change how often the trinkets would proc on average. And so what they did, I believe, was simply change a lot of the RPPM mechanics so that they did not scale with haste anymore, and it was just a static value. And so it did simplify the equations a little bit, but it didn't change them at all.
And so, and as far for 5.4, then, I mean, did you do this again, exercise again? Did you look at the trinkets again? And if so, what were you able to come up with? Like, what are the best trinkets, do you think, for hunters in this current tier?
Yeah, that was going to be my follow up question too.
Yeah, a lot of the trinkets aren't really RPPM based that much this tier, from what I found anyway. Like Assurance of Consequence, that's just a flat proc rate with an ICD. There is a Ticking Ebon Detonator, which of course is RPPM again, but RPPM I guess doesn't really play in to those trinkets all that much in terms of ranking them. For example, like right now, hunters really want to go for Assurance of Consequence, regardless of spec, yeah. And then they want to pick up Ticking Ebon Detonator if they're BM, or the multi-strike trinket, Harams, I think it is, and that's purely based on what they proc and how they proc, because the multi-strike trinket doesn't proc from pet attacks, right? So it's just complete garbage for BM.
Is that the, which one is that? Is that the Harams, or is that...
Harams is the multi-strike trinket,
right.
The one that drops off of the Dark Shamans.
Right.
Right. So that one, it's of no benefit for pets at all, and that's where, you know, 50%+ of your damage is coming from SBM. And so SBM, you just want to go for the Ticking Ebon Detonator simply because the other trinket is, you know, not that good for your spec. And so RPPM doesn't really play a whole lot into seeing which trinket ranks where.
And then I believe there's one other off the Spoils of Pandaria. I forget what that one's called.
Yeah,
that's a cleave, right, I believe?
Yeah, that's the cleave one. Unfortunately, it doesn't hit your main target. If it did, then it might be up for contention, but that one is basically, as soon as you hit the target, it kind of procs just like the multi-strike one does. It'll duplicate your damage across the targets that are closest to your current target. But on a single target fight, it's completely useless. All it is an agi proc, essentially.
Cool. Well, I feel good now because I managed to, you know, I understand Assurance of Consequence. I know most people understand that one. I mean, that's just a very cool trinket, a very fun trinket, and so I happen to have that. And then I got very lucky this past week on our normal mode and got the Ticking Ebon Detonator Warforged off a bonus roll, so that made me feel good, because more often than not it's like 20 gold or 16 gold, maybe 100 gold if I'm lucky off those rolls, but it's always
nice to
get gear.
Yeah, that trinket is actually, in my opinion, one of the best ones, especially if you're someone who likes to, I guess, to rank on fights, because since it is RPPM based, you can have theoretically 100% uptime on it.
Huh.
But other times, you know, you could have absolutely, you know, like horrible luck, and it, you know, proc once in a fight. But, you know, some people really like that RNG factor, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I like the RNG factor when it goes in my favor. But other than that, I suppose if I had a choice, I might choose something that was more steady or predictable. But I doesn't much matter a whole lot. But kind of like that sort of steady, even damage. But I like the fact that they're doing more complex things with these trinkets. Especially, I love what they did with Assurance of Consequence and that kind of mechanic. It's more than just, you know.
Yeah, it's always been fun to have that
for 10 seconds.
Right. Kind of thing. Yep. Yeah, it's always been fun to have the different trinkets going on. Hunters and probably other classes too. I don't really know, but have gravitated towards trinkets as sort of the most interesting items because they do such cool things, and you know, there's been a lot of fun ones throughout the years that have either had ridiculous stats on them or they've done more interesting things like the Assurance of Consequence.
Yeah, one thing that I would like to see in the future, though, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this one, But I don't like having such humongous procs on my trinkets. You know, at the start of the fight, if you don't get that proc right away, all of a sudden you're at the bottom of the DPS charts just because you didn't get a trinket proc, and you're like, oh my god. And yeah, I'd rather them just stick to, say, the cooldown reduction part, and you know, remove this huge, you know, 200k agi proc that you get with it. And if it just stuck to those kind of interesting and new mechanics, then I think that trinkets will be better without the huge procs, in my opinion.
Yeah, or the other way around that. And I know we, you know, talk about button bloat, but making them, you know, adding some more on-use trinkets where you can control when you fire the proc might be a nice compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's always been, in the past, there used to be a lot of the on-use trinkets weren't as good as the randomly procced ones, but when you got really good at, say, like stacking cooldowns and things like that and using them at optimal times, you could really reduce that on average theoretical DPS gap by skilled usage. So I would definitely agree with that. So if you have two identical trinkets and one's on use, in theory you should be able to get more DPS out of that on use one because you're using it at the most optimal times, either based on fight mechanics or based on various other cooldowns that you're trying to stack it up with.
Yeah, I think the last time we actually saw a fight that kind of needed that was Spine of Deathwing, where I remember having to go to the Valor vendor and getting that Valor Agi trinket just so that you could hit the tendons with as much damage as you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen any fights that are really like that anymore, where you needed that big burst and you had to bring a trinket with you in order to get there.
Yeah, I remember that, and that was specifically the heroic version of that fight, but yeah, there was a real DPS requirement in order to actually succeed and get that fight done. And I don't know that people like that a whole lot, which may be why we haven't seen it so much. Didn't see it repeated necessarily this expansion.
I don't mind it as long as it was the penultimate encounter in a, you know, there was a bunch of different bosses. It was one encounter. It wasn't something that they were repeating over and over again. So if they pull out something like that every now and then, I have no problem with it. But it might not be the most popular, as you say.
No, but I like what they did with Siege of Orgrimmar. I mean, I think it's a pretty solid raid. I mean, what did you think, Condor? Did you like this particular raid? Any fights you really enjoyed or anything you didn't like as much?
I think that the Siege of Orgrimmar, it was a good instance overall. I really liked it. One thing that I didn't really like about it was that most of the top-end guilds, ourselves included, we cleared most of the instance in just one night. As soon as it launched, you know, guilds like Blood Legion and like Method were, you know, already 9 out of, I think, what, 14? So they had cleared, you know, all the way up to Thok on the first night. And it seemed really kind of underwhelming in terms of the overall difficulty. And it really got me thinking that, you know, like, is this going to be a pushover? Is Garrosh going to be dead, you know, tomorrow? And thankfully it didn't work out like that, and the difficulty really does ramp up at the end. But yeah, in terms of anything that this tier was really good in my opinion, except for the earlier bosses being, in my opinion, a little too easy. It didn't ramp up in difficulty quick enough.
Now, are you talking heroic or normal or just?
This is heroic mostly. Yeah.
I haven't gotten to the heroics yet, but I do know like Immersus, for example, even in normal, it just seems like a waste of time at this point. You know,
Immersius is.
Hate Immersius for other reasons, though, because that Warlock soloing it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
so.
that was really interesting when I saw that. I was like, you'd think that it would be a Blood DK to do it first, but in comes this Warlock.
Right. It's usually a Blood DK getting a lot of the world first soloing things. I'm okay with that. They are like a soloing monster spec. But when another pure class is soloing things before hunters, I get a little upset. You know, we don't usually have much competition from rogues and mages because they're too squishy, but every now and then warlocks do something stupid that they shouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I got Ligerwolf in the chat room saying he thinks SO is pretty much a four-boss raid. I don't know. Certainly Garrosh is a challenge,
Garrosh is definitely a challenge, especially on Heroic. It, I can't remember how many pulls it took us, but it took quite a few.
Yeah, I can see that, because I know at least that what constitutes the final phase in normal is pretty tough, and as Roger Brown pointed out when we had him on, you know, well, in Heroic, it's still tough like that, only you got to keep everybody alive. You know, you can't afford to, you know, go all in, if you will, and, you know, DPS till you drop, and, you know, hope you've got enough people standing when the when his health, you know, goes to zero, because you've got another phase to do, so you really have to focus on that phase really hard and keep everybody alive to go into the fourth phase.
And it's one of those fights where, I can't remember if someone mentioned this last week, but it's one of those fights where you constantly need to progress, and you spend, say, 12 minutes on the fight just to see a new part of the fight that you haven't seen before. And so it doesn't matter how many times, you know, you pull the boss, you still need to go through, you know, that 12-minute progression to get back to the new part that you haven't seen yet.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not like a boss like Thok where, you know, you see the entire fight right at the start,
right,
and you know exactly what you need to do. You know, Garrosh is kind of, there's still this phase that we need to spend 12 minutes every single time we wipe to get back to, so that we can actually start progression again.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of their end raid bosses tend to be like that. And this fight in particular reminds me a little bit of Cho'Gall, but Cho'Gall was kind of like that. You work your way up to that final phase, and then you might die pretty quickly in that phase, you know, while you're learning it. I mean, the Lich King.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Lich King fight.
Was certainly like that, too.
Definitely.
Was one of those, too, especially the Defile phase, you know, because you could just wipe pretty darn quickly, but, you know, you'd have to spend all that time getting up to that point. And you really wouldn't get enough time in that particular phase to really learn it. So it was a long time getting the time needed to defeat it and learn that particular phase, because you just get to spend much time there.
Yeah, definitely.
I imagine that's a design of theirs, too, so you don't, as a way of gating you from defeating it too quickly, but it can be frustrating.
So, not to jump topics here, but I see you have all spirit beasts, is that correct?
Yeah, I think I have all of them. It's kind of an OCD thing of mine.
You know, well, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I took a look at your armory, and I said, just see what kind of pets, because some people, you know, they'll just get what they need, but you look like you filled out your entire stable, not just with, like, random pets. You've got a lot of the hard-to-get, rare, if you will, stuff. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, like, when I first started playing, when I was looking at the, you know, character select screen, you know, pick your hero, right? You know, I jumped right to the hunter because it had a pet, right? That's what drew me right to the class, and so... you know, every single time that they release new pets, I'm like, okay, I gotta go and get them. I gotta go and get these new pets. I gotta throw them in the stable. I have to have them. So, yeah, it's just all the years of me playing, I've slowly built up the collection.
Yeah, I mean, and some of them are still hard to get. Like, I mean, I think Lokwanahak is, even though he's been in the game since, you know, 2008, he's been, around for so many years, I still think he's probably the single most hardest pet to get, or certainly the single most sought after pet in the game. And now what they've done with the cross realm zones, I mean, you're fighting, you know, with a lot of other hunters now to get them, so it's very challenging. I mean, it feels like back in the days when he came out about the Lich King, where you've just got people camping his spawn points constantly.
Yeah, I gave up on that zone back in Wrath. I tried to get Lokwanahak. I kept trying to get King Crush even in Kata and couldn't find him.
Yeah, the problem with King Crush, I mean, he's almost as hard. I don't think he's as sought after, certainly, as Lokwanahak, but he's probably equally as hard because he's just so big and he spawns in very public areas that as soon as he comes out, someone's either taming him or they're killing him. Someone's usually killing him. I've run across his corpse quite a few times, but I think he's just so big and obvious that people have no qualms about killing him. So I think with Lokwanahak, I think more people understand his importance to hunters out there, that they might be inclined to leave him alone. But I don't know. Again, there's still that frostbitten achievement that requires people to kill him. So,
yeah, you kind of have to go out there in the wee hours of the morning if you really want a chance at getting most of these pets. Cross realm zones kind of It made them rare, which is it's definitely understandable from the developer's point of view. They want them to feel like they're rare pets. They don't want everybody just to have them. So,
yeah, and see, I understand that, and I don't know if they really makes them rare though. It makes it harder to get. It may be rare for you, but someone's getting them every day. I mean, you know, some hunter multiple times. He's being tamed, multiple times a day, every day. So overall, in terms of the overall hunter population, he's getting tamed all the time, I imagine. But, yes, it is. You do have to, like you said, I think the wee hours of the morning is the time to go. And, I mean, that's a good time. You know, another good time if you really want to get him would be wait till, like, day one of Warlords of Draenor when it first comes out. That might be a good time to head down to the basin try and get one of those pets seriously.
That's actually not a bad idea. Go around and doing rare tames while everyone's in the new content. That's brilliant. That's brilliant, dude. I love that.
You know, because now's the worst time to do it, right now.
Because people are going back and doing the things because they're getting burnt out on the current expansion, right?
Yeah, when Warlords comes out, though, you got to level up to 90 so that you can get all the new rares. You can't be worrying about the old ones. You got to get the new ones now.
That's true. I mean, and what are you going to do about that? Because your stable looks pretty full. I mean, do you have some wiggle room there, some that you feel like you can drop to pick up some of the new ones they introduce?
Yeah, I got a couple of slots left. There are some pets that I just keep around that aren't necessarily rare ones that I just have for, say ray buffs. Like, I have a Spore Bat. Which I only use in those rare instances that we say we don't have a Boomkin in the raid and we need Spell Haste or something.
Right.
And so, you know, I would probably toss that out if there was some new rare and I needed some room.
Yeah, I mean, for 10 mans, I mean, that's like the pet. I mean, I can't raid without the Spore Bat. I'm usually bringing that every single week. It's just a given.
Yeah, the last time I was regularly raiding, that was one of the bigger pets that I had to bring to. There was occasionally one or two others that were just as important, but that was usually what I had out as a default.
Yeah. I mean, I like what they did with the Mists of Pandaria pets. They're not necessarily hard to get, but it is kind of fun where you have to. They put in the little footprints that you have to track in some of the zones. And once you know what you're looking for, they're not hard to find. And I don't think those pets are on very long spawn timers, so they're usually there if you're inclined to go get one. I had no problems. Finding some of those.
I like that they added in the footprints. Mainly because other classes can randomly swoop down and just kill it when they see it, right? You need to be a hunter in order to get it out. So I really like that mechanic.
Yeah, I thought that was very cool that, you know, there was something available only to hunters, and, you know, you had to go kind of stalk them and hunt them, if you will, which was very cool. What I didn't like, though, is one of the harder ones to get is the crane. Is it Patronace? He's like the pink crane.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's got like a very tiny footprint and covers a wide area for where he would pat around. So I thought he was one of the harder ones to actually get. But if you go to the Timeless Isle, they gave you an elite version of him. Looks just the same that you can just walk up and tame now. So I was kind of disappointed that they did that.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that crane was the last one on my hit list when I went out to tame all the new ones, just because it was so hard to find.
It was very hard to find because, like I said, you have to kind of fiddle with your graphics maybe to reduce some of the ground clutter, but yeah, it was just such a... I enjoyed going after him, and then I got him, and then I went to the Timeless Isle, and I said, huh, there's one that looks just like him that's level 90, and I could just go grab him. That's kind of disappointing. I wish they hadn't done that. Wish they had given that particular crane on the island a different color and left Patronace, you know, just that unique skin. And they've done that with other ones, too, like the Fireland Spiders. I think almost all of them have simple versions that you could just walk up and tame, which I was kind of disappointed at.
I think the purple one is the only one, at least a couple of them do.
Yeah,
Death to Lack is, like you said, the only one that's truly unique, and I think probably one of the harder ones to get for sure because of his taming challenge. But all the other ones have versions that you can just walk up and get. So as a hunter, no one would ever really know if you're standing in town with like a green spider, a yellow one, a red one, whether it was the taming challenge or just one that you just decided to get.
Right. Yeah, I liked the idea of the taming challenges, but yeah, you want them to be unique skins.
Yeah. So are there any on your wish list that you haven't gotten yet? that you can think of?
I think, you know, off the top of my head, I think that there's one that I don't have that I kind of wish I had, but for some reason I can't seem to get it, and that's a feral druid. For some reason, I can't tame a feral druid, and I can't get it in my stables. That's the one thing that I'm missing.
Yeah, well, we're right with you there. You're preaching to the choir there. Yes, we would love to be able to get a feral druid. In fact, where is it?
That was actually the biggest suggestion that I turned down from the Hunter Project. Where I'm like, give me your ideas, and I got flooded with, we want something that tames druids, even for, you can only use it once a week or once a month, or it only works for 5 seconds, or only in these situations. I'm like, no, Blizzard is not going to let us do this, guys. It's hilarious. I would love it, but we're not, like, this is serious. So I had to let down a bunch of people. But yeah, that would definitely be nice.
Yeah, well, in Cataclysm, I think there were a quest mob. Is either Silver Pine Forest or going in towards Hillsbrad foothills. There's a Inconspicuous Bear, is the name of the mob, and it's listed as a beast, I think, but it looks like a druid. It looks like a worgen version of the bear druid form, but it's untamable. I was very disappointed. I was hoping they would have made that tameable.
Yeah, I thought you were going to have an excellent story for us here, but that's a shame.
No, a very disappointing story that if you go, yeah, I went up there, and like I said, it's listed as a beast, and it looks like the worgen form of the bear druid, but again, you can't tame it, so.
Yeah. I remember that, because I spent every day in the beta going over there and trying to tame the bears, just in case they messed up on the patch, just so I could have a bear.
That's great. Yeah, I haven't really been a pet collector. I got what I needed for raids and my turtle and a couple other pets that might have use in certain situations, and really kind of stopped. I got a couple of the spirit beasts, but they're really ones that I just sort of like bumped into. Some of the easier ones to find. I think King Crush is the only one that I actually wanted for a long time and never was able to find him.
Yeah, like I said, I think that one's tough because I mean it's pretty much snatched up. As soon as it spawns, it's gone. Yeah. I mean, you really have to. I leveled up a Tauren Hunter a few weeks ago and managed to get Lokwanahawk on him, and that was, again, just... I'm beginning to think it was pure luck, because I have another hunter that I'd like to get him on, and I'm like, not having much luck, and so I'm beginning to really appreciate how getting him on that Tauren, where I flew down to the base, and I did two laps, and he popped right in front of me, so it's like, ooh, there we go.
There's we just got a listener comment
at the very last second.
Yeah, is there a website that keeps up current info on pets that are super rare before Blizz fixes it so we can't tame it, such as the three-headed hydra or worms on EPL? We need a place for that that's not Petopia, because I use that a lot, but it's not updated enough to get cool stuff like the worm out of EPL. I really hate when Blizz takes away pets from us. I don't know that there is a place. Like, if Petopia doesn't have it, I don't know where else would be more up-to-date on pet stuff, because that's really the location on the internet for pet information. I don't know of anywhere to get more up-to-date information. Every now and then something will get leaked about pet glitches, but there isn't a rhyme or reason to where that is announced. I would say you can find a lot of things by sort of, you don't need to read all of the forums on WoW, but if you just sort of like peruse and you see a topic that kind of catches your eye that seems out of the norm, might be something you're interested in, you can then browse the thread to see if there's any information in it. Every now and then people in the forums find stuff that others don't, but yeah, I don't know of any particular site for stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the main Petopia site and aren't seeing it there, I would recommend going to the Petopia forums and maybe checking to see if there's a thread on this topic. And if there's not, then maybe create a thread on the Petopia forums and get some of the users there to chime in, and maybe you'll get some information there. That would be my recommendation.
There's Banya's site, but that's more like zoological. It's less about up-to-the-minute updates than it is sort of categorizing and cataloging these pets and the different things that you can do in WoW.
Yeah, and again, I don't know what the status of some of those pets. I mean, because there have been a few throughout the life of the game where they've been sort of gimmicky, and you had to do tame them at certain, just the right point in order to get like the oil slits
Like the the crocodile ooze or whatever that was.
Yeah, claims which those are clearly gone. I mean, if you have them, congratulations. You've got it yourself an extremely rare pet.
Yeah, there's a few of those that have been retired.
There was a wolf, I think, that if you tamed it at the right time, it was a quest mob and it had like a big sword sticking through it. If you tamed it at the right time, you could get that model to stick. I don't know if they've gotten rid of that or
I think you can still do that. That's in the Eastern Plaguelands or Western Plaguelands?
It's in Eastern Plaguelands, I believe, yeah.
And there was the pre-spirit beast ghost wolf, right? Or am I thinking of the same thing? There was like a quest where you could tame something that ended up as like, it was like a spirit wolf that was your guide. And this was before spirit beasts were introduced to the game, so it was at the time it was extremely rare.
Yeah, that was something they introduced when they redid Dustwallow Marsh, and they redesigned the quests in that zone.
That sounds right.
And you were on a quest for that, and one of the mobs you were fighting would summon it. And then I think this was back in Burning Crusade, actually. And if you had the right, you know, amount of haste buffs, basically, you could get your tame beast to be fast enough that you would actually have time to tame that before it despawned. And that was a big deal because Blizzard said they were going to let people keep it, and then they kind of changed their mind. It ultimately went away, and then they brought that particular look back as Karoma, the spirit beast. But I'm not sure, like some of the others like that. I think like Borean Tundra, there was like a wolf there that was covered in oil, and I think there was a way you could tame it and have it keep that look, but I don't know if they nerf that or change that.
Right. No, but it's cool that they have these little unique things, even if they're only available. I like the idea of them, and there's a few hunters out there that have all these different unique pets. So, we are a little bit over time. We should probably wrap up here.
Yep. So Conjure, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I was really glad to get you on here, especially to talk about...
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'm glad I got in before you guys closed up shop.
Yeah.
And no, it's not. There are some people thinking about, you know, looking into doing their own thing. We're not making any promises here. We don't have anything confirmed. So this might not be the end of Hunter Podcasting, but it is the end of the Hunting Party Podcast. And I don't imagine that anything new that crops up will happen immediately after. So it will be sort of a end of an era for this, but 200 is a ridiculous run for a podcast, especially one that's as niche as ours was. You know, that was really a small corner of WoW. It wasn't a general podcast, so I've been really proud to be a part of it. But
Me too. Yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and like I said, I will miss this more than you'll know. But you know, I would love to see another group of folks come along and do another Hunter podcast, and I would love to be a guest on that podcast too, and sort of see the next generation kick off here and run with it. So,
Conjure, I do have to ask, based on your accent here, are you Canadian?
I am, yes.
Okay, I caught it early on, and then I was really listening for it, and there was a couple of boots and hows, and you know, you had like the long O's, and there was a couple other things that I picked up on that I remember, like, that were in Yuri's mannerisms, or you know, vocal tendencies. So I had to ask before we did the outro here.
Yeah, I don't get that whole aboot thing. I mean, people say that I sneak them in sometimes, but I can't hear it myself. I can see the A's because I say that all the time, but I can't see the aboots.
Yeah, well, there was a few like that. Maybe it wasn't a boot, but it was that same sound in words that you don't normally hear them.
Yeah, it was close. It was close.
Right. It's not necessarily Canadian. I've been up to like Minnesota here in the States, and the one girl, like I had a hard time not laughing because it caught me so off guard. I was in a hotel, and the lady at the desk goes, "Welcome to Minnesota," and I was like, "Oh my God, what?" But they kind of have that same inflection to some of their words, but I wanted to make sure that I wasn't mishearing that. But yeah, thanks again. It was a lot of fun having you on, and I think we covered some good topics, you know, and a few that we hadn't really covered in a while too. So that was nice.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. And with that, you have been listening to episode 198 of the Hunting Party Podcast. I'm Arth from the Warcraft Hunters Union,
and I'm Darkbrew from thebrewhall.com and the Brew Hall on Twitter.
And I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party Podcast.
All right, you can check us out on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or at our RSS feed to your reader, and these links, of course, will be available in our show notes.
Yep, and if you like us, please don't be shy about leaving us a review on iTunes or YouTube, especially one where you tell us how much warlocks need nerfed.
You can submit a title for this week's show by emailing us at huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com and have your name mangled on air by professionals.
All right, stay thirsty, my friends. Remember to drink your dark brew lager.
Loctor Ogar.
And with apologies to Conjor, nerf Canada.
That's okay, we need a nerf.
I like your title, by the way. That will be the title.
Oh my gosh.
Marksmanship. Yeah. There you go. I love
that's
it.
That's a wonderful title, yeah. Oh, we had someone from Minnesota saying they do not speak like that. Well, I have heard it. I have heard it in Minnesota. It's like, welcome to Minnesota. Jump shot, BM, MM, and SB. I can rock out any tree. Never worried about my threat, 'cause I've got FD and misdirect. Catching loose mobs in my traps, I never miss, 'cause I am hip cap. I'm the hunter, not the marked. I'm the fighter, not the spark. I'm the kiter, not the kite. I'll top the meters every fight. Made an end game dealing death. Just me, my gun, and my trusty bed. Now let's begin with Illidan, Osirian, and Kil'jiden. Magdamar, Asgalor, Gruul, C'Thun, and Razorgore. Onyxia to Ragnaros, which one have we killed the most? Kel'Thuzad to Maligos.